Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, November the 6th, 306th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, back-to-back performances. And who's better back to look at than his front, Rex Bone?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if I'm Estelle or Rex today. I think I was here for Estelle last week. I'm here for me this week.
Why don't you turn around a couple times and we'll just kind of...
I'm going to make her come in for me next
month. Got a couple different things to kick around. Obviously, this time of the year, we got weather, some of the preparation stuff.
Proprietary or preparations?
Preparation. You know, and that word just kind of bothers me a little bit. So we're just kind of preparing for
understood
winter and some of its complications. We'll kick that around when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see here. Charles de Gaulle. I know you're a big French guy.
I like the fries.
Yeah. Quote, a true leader always keeps an element of surprise up his sleeve, which others cannot grasp, but which his public is excited and breathless about. And I know you got long sleeves on, too.
Yeah. That must be a French thing.
Yeah. Long sleeves?
Yeah.
When you consider what wintertime normally means around here, what's your biggest concern for this cycle?
Well, roads. We talked about last time flooding. You know, the inconvenience of travel, both to people wanting to come in and commerce wanting to come in. Those are all things that, first things come to mind. They've done some great improvements on 299, some magnificent improvements on 299. They've done, you know, constant improvements on 101. They're getting ready to start a huge project on 199. So those open those avenues of getting goods in and out, which create work for everybody and doesn't stop work for the ones that are working. So,
of course, we're probably not going to have an awful lot of road construction during January and February and March.
No, it's just repairs, and hopefully the things that they've done over the season here hold up. They've done all their, you know, batten down the hatches, as you would say.
I don't say that.
You know, just well, as some
public,
people would
oh,
say.
Oh, there you go.
As the public
works.
Would say. Yeah.
What is Tom telling you about the condition of the roads in the county as we go in? Is it a hold your breath and duct tape and baling wire kind of winter?
We've got... The crews we have utterly amazed me on how much work they actually do get done with as little as we give them to do it. I mean, it's just the budget of 5 years ago and before that has stretched it as thin as can be. But they've done some great work this summer. They've done a lot of work on the Matole Petrolia Road. I know they've been out at Alder Point Road. There's some coming on this week's agenda. There's some storms damage repairs and culverts that have been replaced and one that's coming up to be replaced. They've been working the ditches, basically preemptive work of cleaning out ditches so we don't get plugged culverts, we don't get blowouts. They are doing everything that they possibly can to get ready for this winter. And
does Public Works use the CCC or the SWAP programs and stuff to help do some of that kind of stuff? I mean, you see them with the weed whackers out there.
I think we've used them on some ditch clearing where you can't use mechanical. Because, as we talked last time, critters get in the way and there's frogs and you can't do them with equipment. You have to manually do them and stuff. And they have used them, I believe, the CCCs on projects like that because they are efficient. And SWAP, I think we'd had, but I can't quote for sure on that. But they utilize almost everything they can and work with the landowners on some roads, you know, that they can... You know, help maintain. We're putting a lot of grindings out. Grindings work real good for a lot of these gravel roads. Basically, the grindings are the asphalt that they're tearing up before they do the overlay, much like what they did on the highway going into Ferndale.
So it's kind of like overlay. The plugs on the golf course.
Basically, but they go out. Yeah, but it's good. It's hard pack and it settles in real well and it doesn't wash out.
So that just goes into the gravel and
It just sets up and it locks in pretty good and it's been. It used to be a byproduct of road repair and now it's become the wonderful thing to use and it's economical. We're recycling, so you know we get to be the green people. So
yeah, I know that's high on your list.
It is. So
green guy that you are.
Yeah, but it's
at least
but
you're wearing green.
Yeah, but those things work out really well, and Public Works has been utilizing that.
How much of that stuff is produced each year? I mean, is it?
It depends on the jobs, but there was quite a bit. There was quite a bit done on the grinding job between the Fern Bridge and Ferndale, and then there was quite a bit done between Eureka and Arcata. So they use as much as they can, and it becomes a very. We've got a pretty good stockpile up at McKinleyville. We've got some at Warswick. We've got some in Ferndale.
So you use that during the off season too.
To fill the, so in turn we don't have to go to a gravel yard, and we don't have to buy more material. We're reusing the material that we're replacing, so it's an offset.
Are there other areas that are doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I would think like San Francisco County of. They got to be doing a lot of that kind of work.
I would imagine
they
are. I
don't see a lot space available for them. Yeah. So there must be some regional stuff going on.
Yeah. And a lot of it, you can take a lot of them, I know, like Mercer Fraser, they'll take the grindings back into their yards, and then they'll pick up asphalt and bring it back out. So the trucks are running more efficient too. Yeah. Basically. So it becomes a win-win all the way around.
That's cool. And then they just throw oil seal on top of it?
No, it actually blends in pretty good. I actually got about 40 or 50, 60 loads of it back when I was building the ball fields and used it for the base of the parking lot, and I used it for the upper portable parking lot. And as you'll see, it holds in pretty good, and it compacts down pretty good. We used a lot of it. We did a little public works project in conjunction with South Bay School. And we created a little turnaround out in front, and then Paul Meyer from the superintendent built a sidewalk from the turnaround area into the school so the cars didn't have to go all the way into the school, back in, back out. Saves about 55 seconds, but they have a place to drop off the kids and a little turnaround, so Public Works cut a little. It's a little piece of property the county has, and we worked in conjunction with the school, and we've created a safer, more valid drop-off point for the kids at South Bay School. So.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, you mentioned about travel into and out of the county. Have you heard anything about the airport, airlines, blah, blah, blah? I mean, it's stunning how quiet it is. And it's disappointing that nobody is giving any kind of updates. And it doesn't matter if it's a negotiating tactic not to, or you're told not. It doesn't matter. You say progress is continuing.
I
thank you very much. That's all. Just it's kind of like election night, and you don't hear any updates.
Yeah.
During a flood, and you don't hear any information. Are you supposed to presume that it's doing well, or has something been blown out and nobody's sharing?
Like I said, it's been like 6 weeks since we were back in Chicago, and Supervisor Lovelace and some people from the airport went back there. And I heard the proverbial we're close, and I certainly hope we're close. And it's been 4 or 5 years of being close, and something needs to happen. soon, or do we just realize we have a market that's going to be a one horse market, and it's going to affect business, it's going
to
affect
we
travel.
Drive to Santa Rosa,
and it's going to Santa Rosa just started their airport expansion project. Their $7 million, I think, airport expansion project. And I know.
So what's driving that one? I mean, Santa Rosa, yeah, okay, it's a little bit larger. Sonoma County is a little bit more populous. People are wanting to fly into see the grapes and stuff. Okay, great, got it. But they're not that much different than we are, other than the fog.
Yeah, the fog, and they get a little more populous because then you got to throw Ukiah, Cloverdale. You go inland,
sure.
Fort Bragg. I mean, they draw from a pretty good number, and I imagine they're drawing a good chunk all the way from this side of the Golden Gate Bridge with people not wanting to deal with SFO.
Yeah.
SFO is tough to deal with. I get some people say they never have a problem at all. I know people that fly all the time, and they never get a delay. I know other people.
I don't
that
trust those people. I say that. I just don't buy into it.
Then I get other people that says I can't get in and out of here, and it's frustrating because we just took a trip here recently and we got it both ways. You know, when you're planning, when you're planning a 14
Details,
hours,
please.
Yeah, when you're planning 14 hours, it turns 24 hours each way. It affects everything, and it's just frustrating.
Could the county do something in conjunction with Santa Rosa and maybe do a shuttle from here down to Santa Rosa?
There were some interns, I think, that I think Mark had them do a buses down and back and trying to figure out if you could do that. And it got to be fairly expensive, and it had to almost run at full capacity, if I remember right. I read the study.
So like an extension of SamTrans or something like that just doesn't play.
Yeah, and I don't know the full details of that, but I do know a lot of people that are driving to Santa because they run two to Phoenix, I think, every day. I think Alaska flies out of there. So I think they're actually – and I think there's a Las Vegas. And I've been talking to quite a few people. A lot of people go to Sacramento. A lot of people are still flying out of here and not having the problems. And I heard the other day that SkyWest is going to change the back to the original the Sacramento trip is going to go one in the morning, one at night. They changed their times a little bit, but I heard they're changing back.
How about
in
the afternoon
February.
When there's no fog?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're going to schedule this stuff.
Now, it was clear last night, so I imagine everybody got out this morning because they land, last night. But I imagine things coming in now from what looks right out your window here, it's pretty foggy right now.
Unless the boat isn't full.
Yeah, there you go. But it is frustrating for people, and I think people have to understand that if we had something, it would be out there. We'd be, we'd be very proud of it, and we'd want, because it's not from lack of effort. They've got Tom Mattson and the folks up at the airport. They are working hard because it's the revenue factor. The more planes coming in, the more people going in and out. It's a huge money driver for the county and keeps that thing in the black up there. So I mean, it's huge all the way around. Plus, all the people coming in and out you get so much money for improvements that create jobs.
It's still kind of a shame it's located where it is, isn't it?
There
was a discussion about Ronerville. It seems so logical.
Somebody told me that Ronerville would only be about 23% better. So
so we do that over a year.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about?
Yeah, and I don't know where that study came from or anything else, but now with all the improvements, I mean, should have, would have, and I wished I would have put all my money on Google, but I mean.
You would have misspelled it.
It
would have come out goosey or something.
I know, yeah. I would have got somebody else. So, But I'm just saying, would have, should have, and everything else.
Right.
And at the time, and it's a great story, and I'm going to bring that story one of these times, how they ended up in McKinleyville was. It was the Hoovens' grandfather who couldn't fix his tiller anymore up there, so he decided to give it to him for an airport because he couldn't plow that field anymore. It's a very interesting story, but it came from the Hooven family and very involved with it, and they've got their office right across the street, and it's a pretty interesting story about how when you look back, it was all these forefathers that. It's where everything ended up where it was, because that's where they felt it should be.
Kind of explains a whole bunch of stuff, doesn't it? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be a benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, when you look around the area, I asked, I guess it was a week and a half ago, when Rob Arkley was on, I asked him a question, and he had a boom, quick response. So I want to ask you the same question. In your pile of pixie dust is just as big. If you could deal with one problem here, one challenge, one issue, what would it be?
The jobs issue. The jobs issue. The going back. I don't think we'll go back to the days when the young high school kid would come out and there was always a guaranteed job in the mill or something like that. But the days that we used to manufacture things, where we had 3,000 jobs on the bay, and the harbor district's doing a good job with the oyster farming. But that, you know, that I see there's a big shortage, and that can only go so far. But the days where we built things with our own hands, I mean, we made wood, we made pulp, we made a lot of different things. And we're still doing a lot of that, but not to the extent. But those are also days of the past where we, you know, I don't know if we'll ever hit those things.
Yeah, I read something last Friday, was the 25th anniversary, 35th anniversary of Honda building its first automobile in America, in Marysville, Ohio.
In Marysville, Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, it was an Accord.
And Toyota's okay. In Tennessee. And
so we have all these
assemblies. We just opened our first smartphone factory. I saw pictures that we have a smartphone factory in the United States.
So why not here? I mean, we've got all these. Every time we go south through Red Crest, you see the old mill. Eel River, you see the old mill. All these old sites that are Oric, you got two or three of them. There's places that have been used for either heavy or light industrial over the years. Why not those places? They've got access. Well, they've got all the utilities. Why not us?
I see, and we talked about this last week too, I hate to say it because I love it here, but I mean, California's not a good place to do industrial work. I mean, we just had a recent... Dairy Farmers of America, who are involved with the creamery here now and stuff, just opened a $90 million dry milk facility in, I think, Nevada, 262 miles away from the Oakland port, and they're trying to figure out how to get 3,000 more cows over there to milk because the dairies can't keep up with what they can process and for dry milk going because the imports are just through the roof going to China right now. So they're containerizing them, take them to Oakland to the port, and shipping them to China, dry milk. Well, it's the same thing with Chobani yogurt. Last year was looking for a place on this side of the Rockies to do their yogurt, and they ended up in Boise, Idaho, I think. And now they have 500 people in a yogurt. That would have looked good here if we could have done something like that. But their quote, and this is what they quoted, that it... The headline of the article was California wasn't the right culture for Chobani yogurt, which I thought was a cute play on words. Yeah. But it's tough for those kind of manufacturing jobs because of regulations, be it coastal, be it compensation, be it everything else. Now, a lot of jobs still want to be in California because we are still the sixth largest economy in the world. So, I mean, that's a huge factor. So there's still
a
lot coming
on. But that's a consumer.
Yeah,
not a manufacturing.
It's not a manufacturing. You're right, and so we lose lose a little bit of that. But it's not that we can't bring that back. It's not that we can't incentivize these people to say, hey, we're talking about pre-permitting industrial lands for these people, and we're talking about good, clean jobs. I mean,
does economic development do that? Are they recognizing that? Is this something you or somebody else is going to have to run through Sacramento and say? Enough's enough. This is what we want to do. And I mean, I don't hear that there's momentum for that kind
these
of stuff.
These are some of the
here.
Things that have come through Prosperity 2012, the Workforce Investment Board. These are things that they talk about. I think they're trying to put the pieces together. And I think they've got enough lay of the land. If one of those people come to town and decide if they want to come here, because we've got a good workforce. I mean,
that's reactive.
Yeah.
I'm talking about proactive. You know, every other community, every other state is out there hustling for business.
Mike, I'm tired of seeing, who's it, Rick from Texas?
Yeah.
Come to Texas and do business.
Boy, I've been doing the same thing. It's too bad somebody isn't saying come to Humboldt County with a viable thought and some of the stuff pre-permitted.
And there are things. It's not that, say, there aren't flyers going out. There aren't things telling people that this is available here. Part of it is just the funding to get out to these people, you know, kind of like in the old
days.
Shouldn't
that be a high priority for the county to fund that kind of thing?
And I think the economic development is trying to put the funding together to make that a priority.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, as you look at the community rolling into the wintertime, obviously this is not when we're going to see a lot of new business development. Tourism is, you know, it's in the off season. What do you see? Is there a linchpin issue that you see that could get some of these businesses, potential employers, to come here? I mean, we don't, I guess when I see some of these container or distribution centers and things of that nature, okay, why not here? Why not have some of these areas that have been used? Yeah, I don't know if they need to be re-permitted or not, probably do, because they've been fallow for a little bit of time. But we got these big chunks of property that are sitting there in scenic parts of the country. You hear about the Silicon Valley folks wanting to relocate somewhere that's pretty and da-da-da-da-da, quality of life this and quality of life that. Everybody says we have quality of life. So are the arguments about quality of life just blowing smoke?
No,
why not relocate from the Bay Area to here?
And we've got a pretty neat three seasons. You know, I wouldn't call us a four-season territory, but I know you can go from you can go
wet,
from
foggy and dry.
Yeah,
yeah.
you can go from the coast to 105 in 45 minutes. I mean, so if you want
to
get
easy
up on
stuff
our,
to see.
Yeah,
and why aren't these? Are we just so far behind trying to attract businesses here that we can't catch up?
I don't know if we're so
far. Or do we think Humboldt County is the cat's meow and they'll find us?
Well, you know, we've got, and now that we're going to get the redundant line in here, we're pushing the broadband for rural areas and stuff like that. We have a very large amount of telecommuters living up here. We actually have quite a few people that do their digital stuff and they're forwarding it. It amazes me how many there are that can do that now. But they still have to fly out of here every once in a while. So that becomes a problem. They can't get out of here once every 2 months to go to a meeting or whatever the case may be. So we go back to the airport issue. The other issue we go is we've got a lot of able people to work, but we still have problems filling positions.
Well, they can't pass a drug test.
That's a big. I heard that the other day. It's a big, big problem. And people.
I've heard 2/3, 3/4, 80%.
The numbers I hear from some of the HR directors. I mean, I just, you know, something as simple as a whiz quiz, and they can't seem to
get the right answer.
I mean, it's not something you're supposed to study for, guys. You're supposed to be clean and go in there and plan on working. And it's just, and that does become an issue. But then that also becomes the proliferation and the easy. Access to marijuana.
So is
and,
the drug
you know,
culture a higher issue than jobs, or is it jobs and then attacking the drug culture?
The drug culture has become a huge, because of, it's got to the point of the mega grows. Everybody says, let's go after the mega grows. And it gets to be an issue, and we do have to go after that. I just in the last month, water quality is now going to go after the illegal grows for water diversion, everything else before
next
it
spring.
Was before yeah next well next year obviously but be, and basically before they had stated it wasn't safe for their people to go out there, and so you get a point, so farmers should go out there, you know. I mean, it's just it needs to be addressed, it needs to be handled. Our water issues, our water diversion and what's happening to our creeks and things are becoming huge. And there's places down southern Humboldt like Sanctuary Forest, Tasha McKee, and those guys are doing some great jobs on putting tanks out. I think they just finished a, I want to say maybe it was Whitethorn School. They just finished a tank project, 80,000 gallons of water storage that they will be able to capture off their roof and through rainwater and things like that. So it's less water that they're going to have to take out of the streams, out of their pumping
stuff.
The schools
or the grows?
The school. This is for the school. But I mean, but they're also working with. They're pushing the level to let these people, agricultural people, whether illegal or not, saying you need to store water during the winter to be ready for the summer, so you're not diverting this
water.
But
these are the guys that don't pay attention to the laws anyway, so you send out somebody and they're going to, what, whip them with a permit violation?
I tend to agree, but we have, Cal Fire now is getting involved, because if you go out there and you take trees down, you don't replant, you can put a lien against the property. So now they're going to start.
If it's a property owner,
you can put the lien against the property. The property owner is still liable for what is happening on his property.
So if they're on fed lands, or fed lands,
you're a whole different thing. But these private properties that are leasing to people that do it and stuff like that, they know what's going on, or I think they would know what's going on. You still have to be aware.
Is that where the big boys are playing, or I'm thinking the Simpsons and guys, a lot the of the big land owners?
A lot of the big ones are happening on private lands that are leased or purchased, and then you're right. You still have the Green Diamonds, the Humboldt Redwoods, and then the feds. And, with the feds being, low on enforcement dollars. And, I mean, really, timber companies don't have enforcement squads.
Are we chasing our tail with this one?
Probably till 2014, till it's legalized. I think it's going on the ballot. 2014, I think they expect it to go on the ballot, and they expect it to pass.
Last week, Washington, D.C. is wanting to legalize it, the city council. But Congress has to deal with it and permit it. So there was some discussion.
They don't still have Mayor Barry there, do they? I thought he thought it was legal.
Yeah, well, and the whole pharmacy was open at that time, yeah.
But I'm just, I think legalization will probably change the landscape, and maybe we become much like Napa as a boutique. And that's what I know some of the grower associations are trying to put together. So we don't lose all the economic benefits of it, but we want nobody wants the crime benefits of it.
Yeah, benefit, crime. I don't think they go together.
There you
Thanks
go.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right.
Congratulations on being a graduate at CR and the whole open house thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, another speech from Bone. That's what we need. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.